For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome to Double Parsha, Nitzavim and Vayelech. Okay? And no coincidence that it's read at this time of the year. The first verse, chapter 29, verse 9. Atem Nitzavim Hayom, Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You are standing today, this day, all of you before the Lord your God. And this specifically, Shteitan Svarim, this specifically is referring to Rosh Hashanah, that today we're all supposed to envision ourselves as standing before Hashem. That's it. We're all standing like you're being judged. You stand before the judge, all of us together. And all of us together is significant. Atem Nitzavim Yom Kulchem. If you want to come out of the day of judgment, Zachai, with merit and redeemed, acquitted, if you will, right? Then the answer is Ha'adam Sarech Lachlaus Atzmo B'Soich HaKlal, that a person needs to include himself within the community, and therefore the word Kulchem, all you Jews together, showing unity, coming together. That in itself, a group of Jews, you know, all together, a minion, whatever, a community, praying together, has a lot of effect. Okay, and in general, we have halacha, al tifrash min hatzibur, that you're not allowed to separate yourselves away from the community. Right? So that's one of the hints on Rosh Hashanah, how to come out notorious in judgment, is being kulchem, being together, showing unity amongst Israel. Okay? And throughout this parsha, actually, a lot of remozim, a lot of hints to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as we're going to talk about tshuva over and over again. As a matter of fact, the mitzvah of tshuva consists of a couple things. Anybody know? There's a couple points. Number one, of course, you have to admit the sin. Vidui, confession, right? One is admitting sin. Another is a charata, is a regret that you did it, right? Asking Hashem for forgiveness. And a Kabbalah to make up your mind that you're not going to repeat it in the future. Okay? Those are the elements of tshuva. Okay? So that too is in our Torah portion, right? It says in chapter 30, verse 11. First look at verse 11 and then verse 14. It says, A mitzvah azais lo niflas hu memenu mimcha. This mitzvah is not very far away from you. What mitzvah? Says Ramban Nachmanides, Ha mitzvah azais ala tshuva. It's talking about tshuva. It don't think like, oh, it's so far from us. It's like too much. In other words, I look at my past year and I see all the mistakes I made. To do tshuva on it, it's too much. It's impossible. It's so overwhelming. Don't say that. No. No, the tshuva is very available to anybody who wants to make the sincere efforts to come back. He will be assisted, right? V'lo rechokahi, it's not distance from you. Verse 12, V'lo b'shamayimi, don't say like it's in the heavens. L'mor mi'alelanu b'shamayimu, who is like it's up there in the heavenly spheres, who can possibly do it? It's too much. And it goes on, verse 13, Lo mevar liyam, don't think it's over the seas, right? Ki karav alecha davar me'od, verse 14, it's very close to you. Beficha ubavavcha la seiso, in your mouth and in your heart to do. And those words is a key to tshuva. Beficha, that's the hint to vidui. Confessing your sins verbally, that's what it means, beficha. To do tshuva, first of all, confess your sins verbally. And bovavecha, right? That is the charata. That's really, in your heart, to feel bad that you did it, to regret it, right? And that includes, says the Reish Chochma, the Kabbalah Satshuva Vaziva Sachet. It includes, charata includes that you regret to do it, and that you accept upon yourself not to repeat it, to completely leave the sin. Okay? That's the Sephorno and Reish Chochma tell us how to do tshuva there. Okay, got it, guys? So that's a key, obviously, with the upcoming, the Shabbos right before Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Okay. Debate. It's interesting. You say, some people say, I think Rashi brings down, it's talking about the Torah, and Ramban holds that it's talking about tshuva. But either way, this here, for sure, in verse 14, b'fichol v'vavcha, I mean, it could also be on Torah that it should be in your mouth. You should speak out the words you learn. But the truth is, they go hand in hand. As we've mentioned many times, there's no such thing as tshuva without having a reacceptance of Torah. Right? Well, we've said it after the golden calf, the tablets are broken. Yom Kippur, Moshe comes down with the second luchos, the Day of Atonement. We get the Torah. It's a matan Torah. People don't realize that. The Day of Atonement is the giving of the Torah, really. Right? That's when we got the second tablets. Right, the ones that lasted. So, and continue, Purim, right? There's Kimu V'Kiblu. They say it was a higher acceptance of Torah than Mount Sinai. Purim, right? Whenever you have, right, a tshuva process, you have a recommitment, a reattachment to Torah. And in reference to that, we'll continue with Nachmanides, Ramban, chapter 30, verse 6, part of the tshuva process, right, Umal Levavcha. An interesting phrase, to circumcise your heart. In other words, the heart has a foreskin. What does it mean? A foreskin is a thick piece of skin that doesn't let you feel anything. It's an obstruction, right? So, what will happen? Well, first of all, before I call it Nachmanides, Yaakov says a beautiful thing. Hashem will circumcise in the future and in a tshuva process, right? That he'll circumcise this foreskin from our hearts, the targish tanuge umitzikos bekiyum atar v'mitzvahs, and you'll feel, once that's been taken off of you, that thick barrier, you'll feel the tanug, the pleasantness, and the matikas, the sweetness in doing Torah mitzvahs. Isn't that beautiful? In other words, we just don't realize that Torah, mitzvahs, saying a bracha, going to shul, celebrating a Shabbos, celebrating Rosh Hashanah, even though you're being judged, but you're celebrating a Jewish holiday, you're serving Hashem, learning Torah. We don't have the geschmack in it, as we've talked about many times, right? We don't have the geschmack in it. So the problem is we have this orla, we have this obstruction on the heart. Umal, circumcise. Hashem will circumcise our heart, and then finally we'll feel that the beauty and the sweetness of Torah, of spirituality. And when that happens, when it ultimately happens, the ultimate time obviously will be Mayim Mashiach, right? We'll have nothing to do with this world. All of us will be just chasing after spirituality. As a matter of fact, listen to this from Nachmanides. He says this specifically is talking about Yimos HaMashiach, the times of the Mashiach, when our hearts will be circumcised. And he says, Yimos HaMashiach tiyeh b'chira b'toiv lam teva, that at that time, the free will element to pick good will be our nature. There'll be no such thing as we're tempted to do something wrong. Velo yis'aveh lam alev l'mash ein arui, and our hearts will not desire something that that's not right. Like it does now, we see things we like, whatever. Okay? Ki achemda v'taiva arlas halev, because lust and desire is the foreskin of the heart. V'yashuva adam bizmanahu l'ashehu kodem chet shaladim arishan, and man will return to the status like Adam before the sin. Right? Shaya oisa betivo mashru lasais. Because at that time he did what was natural to do, automatically. Second nature. Just only do good. Right? So Adam, when he sinned, whatever, we'll talk about that maybe later on, but basically, some people say he sinned on purpose because he wanted to serve God on a higher level. He wanted to, whatever. But he took the Yetzirah and put it inside of himself. To have that more of a free will to wrestle with it and still do God's will. That was a sin on his level. It was a sin. But that was the idea. Before he did that, it was easy to serve Hashem. It was second nature. So that was a mistake. And now we're working back to get to that state. So then he quotes, listen to this, V'chen nemar b'chizkiel, and it says in Ezekiel the following, V'nasasi lachem lev chadash v'ruach chadasha. At that time, in times of Mashiach, I'm going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. And that's what it says, V'giyu shanim asher tamar ein li b'hem chafetz. You'll say at that time, these are years, you'll say at those times, I have no desire. What does it mean, I have no desire? Eilu yemaisa Mashiach. These are the times in the Mashiach. She'ein behem lo schus lo choiva. At that time, there will be no such thing as a merit, right, or a demerit. No such thing as a mitzvah or a sin. Ki b'yemeya Mashiach lo yeh ba'adam chafetz aval yaseh betivo amaisa ru'i. Because at that time, no one will desire to do anything bad. In other words, there'll be no free will, basically, or very limited. Right? So, it'll be days that you won't have any desire. What does that mean? It means the element of schar v'oinish, the element of reward and punishment, will not exist. Only now can you serve God. Really serve God. We have real temptations. We don't see nothing. Right? Like it says, we don't see the beauty and the sweetness and the pleasure of doing Torah mitzvahs. We really don't. We have to really work at it. Really work at it to feel a Shabbos. Right? Really work at it, feel mitzvahs and stuff. Right? Even with all that, we don't. As we're going to see in our Parsha. Why? Another hint to that. Right? So, at the times of the Mashiach, we'll see that crystal clear. And therefore, we'll have no desire to do anything in the physical world that's wrong. Because we'll see this true delight in the world. So that time there will be no such thing as getting merit, getting credit for serving Hashem. It'll be easy. It'll be all over. That's it. Unless some of my rabbis say, don't be such in a hurry for Mashiach. Because when Mashiach comes, it'll be all over. There's no chance to get reward for mitzvahs. No chance, right? So, no. Why do we want Mashiach? I'm telling you, at that time, it's all over. There's no way you can get reward or punishment concepts. No way you can serve Hashem and, you know, get this tremendous schar for mitzvahs. So why do we want Mashiach? This is very important. You know why we want Mashiach? Look at the Shemoneh Esrei. Look at the Shemoneh Esrei over and over again. We want Mashiach for Hashem's sake, not our sake. We're supposed to want Mashiach because we're tired of seeing the desecration of God's name in the world. Yeah? Yeah? That's what we want. We want Mashiach because we're tired of seeing apikorsim and kafir and heresy in the world. And God's name is desecrated. People believe in ideologies. You know, and idolatry and all these things. We can't stand it anymore. Says Chazal saying, the times of the Gemara, some of the great rabbis are saying about Chevli HaMashiach, which means the birth pangs of Mashiach. Before the Mashiach comes, there'll be tremendous tests, tremendous trials and tribulations. So they say in the Gemara, the rabbi said, let him come, but we don't want to be there. We don't want to be there to see it. The Chevli Mashiach. So they asked the Maisa, what do you mean you don't want to see it? Can it be any worse than what they went through? You know what they went through? Rabbi Akiva and his comrades there. His body was raked with iron combs. They flayed the skin off Rabbi Shmuel. You know, the Roman torturing, you know, all the things that went on. Mamish, millions of Jews died. Mamish, millions. The temple destroyed. It was like a river of blood. The horses, it says the horses were going through the blood of the Jews. It went up to their necks. There was so much dead Jewish bodies. It's unbelievable. Can it be any worse than that? So they said, yeah, there's one thing worse. That right before Mashiach, there'll be such kfirah. There'll be such heresy in the world, and people not believing in God, and believing in all these false evolutions, and you know, Big Bang theories, and all this other nonsense going on here, all these other idolatries going on, right? That they couldn't handle. Physical torture, we can handle. But spiritual torture, seeing a world gone blind, seeing a world gone after heresy, we can't take that. Because their love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so strong, they could survive punishments and yisurin afflictions on their own body. But what they couldn't handle, is seeing a desecration of God's name in the world. That they didn't want to see. Just the very idea that people can not believe in God. They didn't want to be around to see that. It drives them mad. It says, Yimashuga. It says one of the, in the clothes, in the curses. You'll go crazy from what your eyes will see. That's this generation. Yimashuga Mashuga. That's the words that it uses. People don't believe in God. They believe in some virgin birth, which is a contradiction in terms. They believe such, I mean, listen to it, that God would come down and have an intimate relationship with, I can't even say the words, and have a son. I mean, it's mind-boggling that people can believe in this stuff. Absolutely. You know, that they couldn't handle. And the science and the evolution and everything else. They didn't want to be around to view that. Okay. So that's why we pray for Mashiach. We pray for Mashiach as a representative of Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? That's going to spread the name that Hashem is Hashem, and there's no other Hashem, right? That's the bottom line. We can't stand the Chil Hashem in the world. That's what Mashiach. Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. Now, in reference to that, times of Mashiach, which a lot of this parsha talks about, and by the way, it's also appropriate that we're doing this right before Rosh Hashanah because there's a debate when we were redeemed and when we will be redeemed. In other words, the first redemption referring to Egypt, right? Which is the seeds for all future redemption. So, I think Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar debate whether it was in Nisan or Tishrei. Okay? We go back and forth. So, it fits that we're talking about this now. One of the things it says here, is in chapter 30, in verse 3, Veshav Hashem Lokecha es Shivusecha. Hashem will return your returning. Do you hear? It sounds redundant, but it's not. This is the word Shav, which, by the way, that's the root word of Tshuva, to give you a hint what Tshuva is all about. Tshuva is repentance, that's true. But the real meaning of it, or the real meaning of repentance, let's say, is to return. To return back to your pristine, pure self. That's what tshuva is. Really, the sins you did are not you. That's not you. We know better deep inside our Yiddish and Neshama. Okay? We really do. So, you know, we got distracted in the world, went after our Yitzhak Hora, whatever it is. Tshuva means come back to yourself. Come back to the real you. Come back to the real you. That's what it means, okay? So this verse tells us, Hashem will return your returning. Listen to Rashi. Rabbi Seinu Lamdu Mekan Kav Yachol Shashachina Shirui Yim Yisrael B'tzaras Galusam V'shnigalim Ki'ilu Geula La'atzmo Hu Yashuv Imayam. Hashem says, the rabbis learn from here, the Shav, Hashem will return to returning, means that Hashem is so in love with His children, so, you know, such a devakus, a cleaving to us, that He goes into exile with us. He dwells with us in our tzoris, in our tzara, and we are in exile with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when we are redeemed and we come back, Hashem will come back with us. The Shav, Hashem will return to returning. He will return with your returning. Right? You know where we first see this, by the way? The burning bush. The thorn bush. A thorn bush represents Israel in exile. In thorns. Right? And it says, Moshe saw the bush was burning, but it was not being consumed. Saw a fire in it. You know, it says the angel of God was there. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was in there. Why isn't this thorn bush being consumed? Because Hashem's in it. You hear? You hear the metaphor? Hashem's in it. Why isn't Israel swallowed up and consumed in exile by the enemies, by the Goyim? Because Hashem is with us in the thorn bush, and therefore we're not being consumed. Okay? So this is a reference to that. Okay? As a matter of fact, it says that the ingathering of the exiles, that's what we call it when we return, and the same verse, Rashi says, is going to be such a difficult time that, well, I'll read it to you. It'll be so difficult in gathering the exile, ki'ilu hu atzmo, as if Hashem himself, tzarech yos oiches b'yadeinu, mamish, that Hashem will have to go out and grab our hands, right, and bring us back. He'll have to hold us by the hand and bring us back. It'll be so tough. And that's what it means, the double language. V'shav Hashem lokecha shuvasecha. Hashem will return our returning. We'll have to go out there and grab us the hand. What does that mean? It's telling you about exile. We'll get so comfortable in the exile. You know, we'll get so comfortable in exile, right? There's a story, I'll tell you how comfortable we get in exile, that we won't want to leave. It'll be very good to go to Israel. Wow, you know, maybe we'll go next year. You know, I'm building up my business, you know, whatever it is. You know, they tell a story about the Cossacks. The Cossacks used to have weekly pogroms against the Jews. So there was this farmer and his wife, and they lived in this little cottage. And once a great Rav was visiting, and he had no place to stay, so they didn't know who he was. And so you're welcome to stay with us. So they stayed with them. And in the middle of the night, the Rav got up and did Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos is, so very righteous people still do it, at mamish midnight, not 12 o'clock, whatever midnight is. Like midnight right now is about 1:30. Okay? Got up, mamish in the middle of the night, and did this Tikkun Chatzos, which is weeping over the destruction of the temple, and that Hashem's in exile. You know, we're in exile, right? And to bring the ultimate redemption. Sit on the floor, mamish put ashes on your head, it's mamish. So the farmer, in the middle of the night, you know, heard some wailing. He goes over, and he sees his guest, the Rav, sitting on the floor with ashes on his hair, crying. He goes, "Oh, what's wrong? What's wrong?" He says, "I'm doing Tikkun Chatzos." "What's that?" He says, "I'm crying over, you know, being in exile. And, you know, and then one day, Akash Baruch should bring us the Mashiach soon, and we'll all return to Israel." He says, "Don't you want Mashiach to come?" He says, "I don't know. Let me ask my wife." So he goes and asks his wife, and he comes back and he says, "I asked my wife, and I said, you know, we don't really need Mashiach. We're doing pretty good here. You know, we have our nice cows, and they're producing a lot of milk, and you know, we got it pretty good." So the guy said, "I mean, but you know, like, I mean, just the Cossacks can come at any time, pogrom and wipe everything out. You know, then what would you do?" He goes, "Oh wow, that's a good point. I never thought of that." So he goes back, you know, talks to his wife. So his wife consults with him, you know, tells him something, goes back to the Rav and says, "You know, my wife says that, you know, it's true what you said, is a fear of the Cossacks coming. Why don't you pray that when Mashiach comes, he takes the Cossacks to Eretz Yisrael? And we can stay here with the cows." Okay, so we laugh, we hear this, but the truth is we're not so far removed from that story. Right? We're very comfortable with our cows, with our firebirds, with our cars, with our, you know, our businesses, whatever it is. And we would rather Hashem come and take the goyim to Israel and leave us alone here in the land of milk and honey. Well, that's what we think. A lot of us, if Mashiach came all of a sudden tomorrow morning and said, "Kum Shai, let's go, it's time, the redemption's here, let's go to," could we drop everything? Well, can I just run by the bank just for a second? Or can I, you know, like, what, can maybe just 2 more weeks, I'm building up a certain clientele, you know? You know, like, I just redecorated the home. I mean, like, mamash, you know? Yeah. So this says it'll be so hard to take us out of goals. Hashem himself will have to take us by the hand and lead us back. See what mamash says? Okay. We finally do get Eretz Yisrael. It's a very good question, Chaim Shmuel. We get to Eretz Yisrael. So he'll give us like mamish a new spirit. We'll feel things. Mamish will have a lev chadash, a new heart, a new spirit, and we'll appreciate to be able to serve Hashem. And then we won't bother. Initially, it'll be hard for us. But once we get there, everything will be fine. It's a good question. Okay, lo b'shamayim hi. We learn a lot of things from this verse, chapter 30, verse 12. For one, we talked about this being tshuva, right? That it's not in heavens, it's easy for you to do. And we say it means Torah. If it means Torah, it means that the Torah's not in heaven anymore. Which basically means we here on earth decide the halacha of Torah. Okay? Obviously it doesn't mean any idiot can decide the halacha. We're talking about Rebbeim with Ruach HaKadosh, with Divine Spirit, you know, decide the halacha. It also means, lo b'shamayim, in reference to that, lo timsa b'gasei ruach. The Gemara in Erevin says, you will not find Torah in those that are haughty and conceited. They are not going to decide halakhic decisions for you. It's going to be with the humble. Smile. Good. Okay. All right. So that's another thing we learned, lo b'shamayim, okay? And the other thing they say, amazing boy, is if the Torah was in heaven, we'd have to go up and get it. Y'all look at me, so what does that mean? It's impossible. No, it'd be possible. In other words, like this. If the Torah was in heaven, then Hashem would make it physically possible that we could go up there and get it. I'm telling you something, it sounds far-fetched, but you got to hear it. Chazal are telling you on this verse, if it was in heaven, you have to get it, tells you by definition, any mitzvah in the Torah, no matter how difficult it looks, it's possible to do. That's what it means, by definition. Therefore, you can have something that's purely emotional. V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, love the Lord your God. You know, how do you do that? How do you command someone, love me? I've tried it. It doesn't work. Right? You know, you either do or you don't. I've got 186 no's on this. Right? It doesn't, you know, you can't. Well, so it means, says the Chiddush HaRim, that's it. If Hashem can make a commandment, v'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha, love the Lord God. It must mean intrinsically inside the Jew loves Hashem. Or he wouldn't give a commandment like that. You understand? That's what it means for all these commandments. That's what it means. Lobo Shemayim, if it was in the heavens, Hashem would make it possible you could go up there and get it. That's very key. Okay. Okay. Chapter 29, verse 18. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a famous Nachmanides, Ramban, Vamitavenikra Tzema. Okay, someone who is desire and lustful is called Tzema, means he's always thirsty. Cannot quench his thirst. Listen to this. Listen to this, guys. Kasher tavo belibo ketzatz taiva. When it comes in the heart of a person, a little bit of a taiva, desire. Right, so what does he do? He runs after his desires to fulfill them, right? So what does that happen? Az yosi panapsho taiva yasera. He just wants more. Well, kind of like a smoker. You know, it starts, and then he has to have more, right? Or anybody, alcoholic, whatever it is. Same thing in desires and lust. This person starts to chase after desires to fulfill them. Now he has a greater desire, right? If you look at anybody in the promiscuous world, this is the story, right? That mom's the story. Going from bar to bed, and this, and then that gets old, and this gets old, and your wife gets old, and have an affair, and that gets old, and you try something really weird, and that's why you have pornography, because all these things get old, and they need some constantly new and stimulating, because of this Ramban. And listen to it. Listen how far it goes. And you'll desire something more, right? And then he says, listen to this, and then you'll desire something, then you'll desire things that are very bad, things that you never would have desired from scratch, from day one. Things that are completely abnormal. First of all, you have desire, he says, for females, right? And then when you start doing a lot of that, you'll start to get a desire to have homosexuality and bestiality. This is Ramban, Nachmanides, chapter 29, verse 18, he brings this down. Maspil ra'ev. And then he goes into the concept that if you starve it, it's satisfied. And when you try to satisfy it, right? Excuse me. Yeah, maspio. If you satisfy it, it's hungry, right? And when you starve it, it's satisfied. Okay, that's the rule. Anyways, it says right there. That's why you have a promiscuous nation, and you see how America went like that. You know, basically like 1950s. Not that I was around, guys, but I've been told somebody. Older folk, you know, in the 1950s, whatever. I mean, basically, I'm not calling them the film world, I'm talking about the secular world. They're going, they dress sneas. There was not just thing as, I mean, there was bikinis, like, but I mean, mamish, even the bikinis then were like more sneas, right? You know what I'm talking about. People dress in the street with some decorum, right? And then what happened? Okay, then the 60s, that foolishness, the hippies and everything, but that started the process. And people became more and more lax in their dress and in their speech. You know, when I grew up, you never heard a lady curse And now, you know, that the Medavka curse, they want to show that they're jealous because men curse. I can curse too. I can show I'm as sleazy as they are. I don't know, you know, it's just some pelodic. At any rate, right? So all these other things. And that led to another thing. And that led to the pornography. You never had pornography like that. You never had pornography like that today, right? Back then, what they considered pornography is in Time magazine now. I'm not kidding. It's in Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated has a famous swimsuit edition every year. I'm telling you, that's what pornography was in the 50s. I don't know from these things. Don't look at me that way. I don't know. I'm just, you know. All right. So that's what it is. And then that leads to other things and other things. And, you know, again, the divorce rate escalates. Well, back then, people used to see on a regular basis, people were married 40, 50 years, right? You know? But not now. Now the divorce rate escalates. Everybody's having affairs. Everything is that physical zach over and over again. That's what it leads to. And now you got a new machla. You got literally a new machla. AIDS. You got a new thing here. Now people don't have an affairs. A person just has his affairs and is promiscuous. He's already Kurdish. That's a holy person already. Now you got this homosexuality business and people are proud of it and so forth and so on. This is what it is. It just leads, where does it end? Where does it end? It goes on and on. It's Saddam. It's Mamish Saddam society we live in. Okay. If you wonder why I speak about this so much, it's because you can't condone it and society condones it. Okay, we're going to take a station break now. Switch over. Okay, chapter 29, verse 12. Hayom. This word, Hayom, tells us, Rashi tells us, Va'klolos va'yisurim mekayim eschem, right? U'matzavim eschem lefanav. It says, this day, you're standing before him, right? And this follows the parsha of curses from last week, right? So, Rashi's telling us a very big insight. He's saying these curses and these afflictions are clothes for Yisurim that is causing you to stand before God today. You hear? Sometimes a potch, right? Like my friend wrote here, Hashem gave me a potch to let me know what my priorities were. Hashem gave me a potch to remind me what my priority was. Right, sometimes that's what we need. We need a slap in the face to wake us up to what it is. How many people you know that we shouldn't know from it, but lost a parent, and that's how they become religious. They got close to God, or they got an illness, they got an affliction, and that was the only way to bring them back into spirituality. It's momish, when things go well, people don't turn to God. So that's what it's telling you. These curses are not for revenge that we learned in last week. And the afflictions you get are not for revenge. It's mekayim eschem u'matzivim eschem lefanav. It's causing you to stand before God today. It's what brings you back to the path. Right? Yeah? It's tremendous. Okay? Interesting. That verse that we said we're going to return from the end of the exiles, it says that four exiles, we're in four exiles now. The first three exiles, we were redeemed in merit correspondingly to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov. The fourth exile, interesting, they say will be a merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, it says, only b'schus esek ha-toyrah Yisrael negolim. Or Chaim says, that's why this exile is taking so long, because it's only in merit of Torah will we be redeemed. Because Moshe is Torah, right? So that's what he says, that's it. When we return to Torah, Hashem will bring us back to the land of Israel. Okay, so we're trying to do our share here. Okay, now I got to share this with you. Malavavcha, part of that circumcising of the heart, part of the circumcising of the heart is Hashem will reveal our eyes. Lasur mekula taos, to go away from all the mistakes that we've made. And all the taos of Amarav and Seichla Yudias Ha'emes Shemistadol Davkabo Boifin Shetakir Tovos. So you'll be able to cleave to Hashem and recognize His goodness. Basically, Hashem will cause you not to stray after what your mind is taking you after, the distractions of the world, and you'll be able to cleave to Hashem and recognize the goodness that He's bestowed upon us. Mamash, that we're Yidden, we get to do Torah and mitzvahs. We simply don't appreciate it. But in the future, when that heart is circumcised, we will appreciate it, which answers Chaim Shmuel's question. When we get to Israel finally, yeah, it'll be hard because we'll be stuck here. We think this is the good life. But finally, when we get there, Chaim Shmuel, finally, when we get there, Hashem will circumcise and he'll reveal our eyes, right, that will recognize his goodness, the true goodness, serving Hashem, doing Torah, doing mitzvahs. Then we'll be happy, Taka. Okay. Famous verse here. Famous verse. Anisturat, la Hashem Elokeinu. The hidden things are to God, va'niglas lanu uvanenu ad oilam. And the revealed things are to us. There's a lot of commentaries on what this verse means, okay? One is, Chassad Sefer says, it's going on the two times of the redemption. There is a certain time that we can bring the redemption at any moment. Okay? So, and then there's a time that Hashem has a timetable, even if we don't do anything right. Just for the mere factor that we've suffered so much, and Hashem wants to fulfill His promise to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, He'll redeem us. At a set time. We don't know what that is. Okay? There's a set time that the Golas cannot go any further than this, whatever it is. So that's what it means, Anistaros LaHashem Elokeinu, the hidden time, that is in Hashem's hand. It's not for us to figure out. Vaniglos, the revealed time, that's for us. We can bring that at any time. The revealed time is up to us when we want to do it. Okay? And that's what it means. Haniglos, the revealed time. Lanu uvanenu ad olam. It's to us and to our children all our days. We can bring it. Us or our children. Okay? It's up to us. Okay? Another reason for the double language of Veshavata v'atatashuv. Well, actually, this is in chapter 30, verses 2 through 8. It says Veshavata, you'll return, and then later on it says in Tatashuv, you'll return again. What does it mean? So it says like this. First of all, after you do tshuva, it's only after you do tshuva that you really, impressed upon you how great the gravity of your sin was. Before you did tshuva, you didn't really, how could you really do tshuva? You understand what I'm saying? You didn't realize how enormous your sin was. Once you go through a tshuva process, then you come to the awareness how great your sin was. Then you got to do tshuva again, because only now you're aware of how great it was, the sin. You understand? So that's what he says. Okay. It says there, the next verse 9, and at that time, what will happen? Chapter 30, verse 9. It says, Hashem will rejoice to do good to you, right? Rejoice to do good to you. He'll rejoice to do good to you. And this is the concept that we said before, that Hashem is good and wants to bestow good on us. And He'll rejoice over the fact that we allowed Him to give us good. That's what He wants to do. We didn't sin. We did mitzvahs. Oh, like a loving parent. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch says, oh, wonderful, I can now give good to my children. Okay? So that's what it means. Hashem will rejoice to do you good. So therefore, it says, based on this, that we get a separate reward for giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas. Besides the reward that we get for tshuva, right? That's what he says. L'tayva, for good. Hashem yiten lach, hoysafa shel tayva. He'll give us another good. Ki yashuv Hashem lasus lach. In other words, we'll get two rewards for the mitzvah of teshuva. We get reward that we did the mitzvah of teshuva, and then we'll get reward that we allowed Hashem to give us reward. And that's what it means in Pirkei Avos. This is beautiful, isn't this? Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev says this. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. That's what it means. He says, to get reward for a mitzvah becomes a mitzvah. Because you made Hashem happy. So you get two rewards for a mitzvah. Maximize your spirituality. Okay. Now, in this Torah portion, the Meshech Chochma is Medayik on Elashon, chapter 30, verse 15. In this Torah portion, we have the following language. It says, Esachayim v'esamavis. Yeah, I'm giving you a choice between life and death. And in Parshas Re'eh, we had a similar language, if you remember, but it said, there, I'm giving you before you a bracha klala, a blessing and a curse, right? Choose the blessing. Here it says, life and death, b'chart b'chayim, and choose life. Because, you know what the difference is? There, it's talking about mitzvahs and sins, in Parshas Re'eh. Here it's talking about, what is it talking about here? Tshuva. Everything is in this parsha is about tshuva, right? So, here, The idea is the following. To sin, that's a curse. Not to listen to the Torah and the mitzvahs, you cursed yourself. To do the Torah and mitzvahs, you've blessed yourself. But here's something greater. The chance to do tshuva, in other words, you can rectify the past, that's even stronger than a bracha and a klala, a blessing and a curse. That's life and death. Chaim and mavis. Now you have a chance. Okay, you made a mistake, and you chose the curse, and you sinned. You went against the Torah. But now you have a chance to rectify by doing tshuva. You don't do it? That's mavis. Then you pick death. It's more severe. In other words, it's more severe to ignore the opportunity to do tshuva than to do the sin itself. It's like a prisoner is in jail, and they open up the jail cell, and he sits there like a fool. He doesn't run out. He's got a chance to be free. Grab it. Right? So this is more severe. That's why it's a more harsh language. Death and life, and not a blessing and a curse, as it was in Re'eh, in Parshas Re'eh. Okay? And therefore it says, B'chartz B'chayim, it says there in the verse, choose life. Free yourself. Okay? B'chartz B'chayim also actually tells us another thing. Same verse. B'chartz B'chayim tells us, you gotta choose life. You gotta make Torah look like it's life. It's a life. Get a life. This is it. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell you what I'm saying. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you gotta make it look like this is your life and you enjoy it. Because if you don't, you'll be a frum yid. You'll keep Shabbos. You'll keep the mitzvahs. But if you go around kvetching all the time, it's so hard to be a Jew. So much trouble. You gotta find kosher meat. Gotta pay more money. Shabbos, can't watch TV. Shackled. Tisha B'Av all year long. You know that? Then you're a frum Jew. You'll get reward for your mitzvahs, but your children won't be frum. They'll say that. They'll see that. They'll say, my father, my mother, they're tzaddikim. And Damascus too. I'm not interested in being Damascus. I want to live life. But if you go through doing Torah mitzvahs, b'charta b'chayim, and you show it's your life, it's geshmak, building the sukkah and you're schnitzing out there, but it's geshmak. It's what I'm living for, Torah mitzvahs. Spend extra money for a glot meat, who cares? That's what I got the money for. That's my life, that's where I'm living. And you do everything with a simcha, Baruch Hashem, Shabbos is coming. I don't have to work. Baruch Hashem, I get to say a bracha. Right? Got that kind of attitude. You're in simcha. It's your life. Then your children are going to follow in the same footsteps. They too will choose Yiddishkeit, right? But you got to show it's not a burden. You got to show that you're doing your Torah mitzvahs is a simcha, a pride. Okay, very important, very important. Now, in reference to our verse on Nistaros Lashem Lokeinu, the hidden things are to God. Pshuto, you got to learn that also. You got to learn that the hidden things, right? Well, that is that above our seichel, right? Like what's happening in the mystical world, or Kabbalah, or what's happening in history that we don't understand how Hashem's operating the world, right? It's very simple. It's none of our business. The hidden things are to God. The revealed things that you see. You see your fellow Jew suffering, you go over there and comfort him. Don't start clearing, does he deserve to have the Yisur and the trials and tribulation? Why did God bring him the trials and tribulation? You just see one thing, the revealed thing. He's suffering, you help him. That's what you gotta do. Why? Philosophical questions. God created the entity of evil, and why did these things happen, and why everything's happened in history, and you know. That's none of your business. That's the hidden things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You leave him, he'll do his job, you do your job. Okay? And another thing on this, this I gotta share with you. Oh, this is beautiful. It says, first of all, Shav Ad Hashem Lekach, you return up to God, not inclusive of God. So some people say this means going up, at the very beginning of the tshuva process, which we're doing, it'll equal the state of Israel, a secular government. In other words, they returned up to God and stopped there. They're Yiddishkeit. I'm not going to say any more on that. But Israel's not being run by a Torah government. Chapter 29, verse 16, and then we're going to jump into Vayelech. I keep saying that. I know you don't believe me anymore. But this is very important. First of all, look at the flow of the verse. It says, it's talking about, you know, in exile, right, you'll see their abominations, vesgululayam, and their idols, eights for heaven, wood, trees, stone, wood and stone, kesef azav, right, gold and silver, that they have. So listen to this. So it's going on idols, right? Right? But it's going on something else. Rob Grossman says on this, this is the process of assimilation. You know what's going to happen? At the beginning, you're going to look at the culture, the value system in the United States, the experience that happened to you, and you're going to say, shikusayim, disgusting, abominations. That's what the verse calls it. It's an abomination. You know, but then after a while, you're here for a while and you see the disgusting things over and over again, right? Then, eighth of heaven, it's like wood and stone. You know, that's it. That's the way it is, you know. It's like wood, stone, homosexuals, you know, abominations. It's no longer an abomination in your eyes. It's like wood and stone, you know. Just ignore it. Then, kesef v'zahav, they don't become like silver and gold. Then you'll start tolerating it and giving them excuses, and it's a mode, it's a fad, it's a vogue, it's a lifestyle. It'll go from being an abomination, and then you'll get used. That's what whole society's done. At the beginning, you know, 40 years ago, you paraded some deviant like this, and then, you know, they would have lynched the guy, right? Next thing, you know what happens? 70s, 80s, toleration. It's like wood and stone. Next, our society, gold and silver, alternative relationships, whatever it is. You know, they condone it. It's in style. Okay, now we're going to go into the next parsha. We have a double parsha this week. Vayetze, okay. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I don't want to go Vayetze. Vayelech. First thing I want to talk about, Vayelech is a very important verse. It's a scary verse, actually. And it's the hint to Esther in the Torah. Everybody's name and destiny is hinted to in the Torah. Esther's name is hinted to in this word, Va'anochi Hastir Astir. I will surely hide my face in that day. So you have to understand, Megillas Esther, during the time Mordechai and Esther was written, they were the last of the prophets. After that, the lights went out. And we live in a time ever since then of Hester Ponim. God's face is hidden in the world. In other words, when you add prophets, what did that mean? You had a direct manifestation of God in the world. You have a revelation of godliness in the world. You have the word of God speaking to you. Man is a conduit, a prophet. Without prophecy, without the holy temple, the lights went out. You can't find spirituality. You can't see Hashem's ways in the world. Right? You don't feel a Shabbos, a Yom Tov, Torah, and Mitzvahs. All that is gone. No more open miracles. Right? That's what Purim, Megillas Esther, symbolizes. It's full of miracles, but God's name is not in Megillah Esther. You got to see him behind the events. That's what it symbolizes. That starts a time of no more open miracles, no more open miracles in Megillah Esther, but in retrospect, when you look back at the story of Megillah Esther, you see how God was everywhere, orchestrating all the events. Couldn't be coincidence. So that's why it's the most prevalent, it's the most important book to us, because it teaches us how to live, how to see God in our everyday lives, to see his hand orchestrating everything, okay? So that's what it means. I'll surely hide my face. That's a hint to Esther in the Torah. And that's our job. That's a tough thing we got. We live in a time of this Hester Ponim. As a matter of fact, it says, Ein lecha shah, kasha be'olam. There was no time as harsh in the world as that time when Hashem said to Moshe, Va'anoichi haster aster panai bayamahu. I'll surely hide my face in that day. It's a scary thought. Hashem hides his face. You know, no more are you going to be able to see God's hands in the world. It opens the door for heresy. And that's what's happened. And people have to hang tight by their fingernails to believe in a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Yiddishkeit. Okay? It's very dangerous. You can get more reward than any generation, but it's so dangerous we could fall off the edge. And 99% of Jewry has fallen off the edge. Only 1% of Jewry is involved in Torah mitzvahs. 6 million Jews are intermarried. Interesting figure, isn't it? Yeah, that's it. That's all because of this Hester Ponim. Okay? Vayelech also talks about Shnas Hakel, when you bring everybody to read the Torah once a year. So it says Hataf. It says the men should come, the women should come, and the children. So if it says the men and the women, of course the children are going to come. Right? There's no choice. So why does it say that? So it says to give reward. Listen to this. Svasama says, this teaches us something. That what's the chiddush to bring the children? I would have thought the following. Because when you bring children, sometimes they're noisy. You know, sometimes they make noise and they distract, right? And therefore, you, yourself, you know, the parents are not going to catch as much Torah up there in Yerushalayim. You know, the kids are going to distract you and you're going to not get as much spirituality as you could get and not gain as much, right? So it comes to tell you, Levatel mixas mishlemus atzmo, it's worthwhile to lose out a little of your own spirituality for the sake of bringing up your children in an atmosphere of Yiddishkeit and Torah. You'll say they won't gain anything, they won't learn anything. So then I have the next clip. Meshechachma, vataf, on the same thing. When Rabbi Yeshua heard this, to give reward to those that bring them, he said, you had this beautiful pearl in your hands and you guys didn't tell me this? He said to his fellow sages in the Gemara Chagiga. Why was Rabbi Yeshua so overwhelmed by this? Because Rabbi Yeshua's mother, when he was in her womb, when she was pregnant with him, you know what she used to do? The tzedekis used to go by in the crib, in the carriage, I guess, by the yeshiva, the base of Medrash, and just stand there and through the window listen to words of Torah. Not that she understood it, not that the womb, the embryo understood it, but she felt it would have a good osmosis effect. You hear? It's worthwhile to bring children in an arena of Yiddishkeit Torah, even if they're not going to hear anything, even if they're not going to understand anything. For one, osmosis, words of Torah compared to rain, to dew. You know, you don't see the immediate results of it, but it's never lost. It's never lost, right? So just being in the atmosphere, just seeing that the parents are machshiv Torah. They consider Torah important. They're in a class. They come home. They work all day, and they come to a class. That's important, too. Those are your three paper clips. Okay. Now, all right. Going back to the Hester Ponim, guys. Going back to the Hester Ponim. It says, Anachi Haster Aster, I'll surely hide my face in that day. You notice that the double language of hiding, Haster Aster. What's the double language come to tell us? It says, if you, this is the real scary part. I didn't, you know, this is mom's a very scary part. Okay, Svasana says this in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. It says, if you know, Hester Ponim, Hashem's face is hidden, right? You can't see Hashem's way in the world. Okay, that's scary enough. But that second Hester, the second hiddenness, what does it mean? It means the hiddenness will be hidden. In other words, the following. If you know the idea of Hashem's hiding in the world, his hidden face, right? Then that's not such a big thing. You know, this isn't real. This is the part of Hashem's hiding his face in the world. But when the hiddenness is hidden, right? In other words, when you think this is normal. In other words, Hashem's hiding his face in the world will be so hidden that the concept is hidden, that you don't realize that this is part of Hester Ponim that we're living in. You think this is reality. You think this is normal. This is the way things are supposed to be. You think that you're not supposed to feel any spiritual, because by definition it's spiritual. You think the physical is the real world. That's not it. That's the biggest Hester Ponim. That's Mamish Golis. That's not real. Spirituality is the reality. And the physical world is a metaphor of it. You know why you have a house? You have a house so you can do the mitzvah mezuzah. It's not the other way around. You think, you know, because I have a house, now I get to do the mitzvah mezuzah. Wrong! Hashem made the concept of houses mezuzah. You know why you have a mitzvah, why you're born of parents? Because there's a mitzvah in the Torah, honor your father and mother. Or else we would have dropped off the trees. Sometimes I wonder if some of these people out there have. Okay? Yeah, that's it. You gotta understand that. So that's the biggest Hester Ponim, right? When you think Shah Hester Atmo Afhu Behester or Hesem Beulam Rab Emes Hamatzah Be'esha Hester Atmo Afush Behester, that the hiddenness of Hashem's face is hidden. She'en Yodim ki Hesteru. We don't even realize this is Hester Ponim. Saivim Shikahu Minago Shaloimam. We think this is normal. Then there's no way we can know to return and do tshuva. We think everything's normal, everything's good. Hastir es a Hester Gufo. Hashem will hide the fact that he has a hidden face in the world. Okay? But with all that, and this is so beautiful, you always got to remember this. There's always like always a bomb, always a blessing in the curse. In this, look at the words. There's two words to say me. There's ani, and then there's like the Ten Commandments. Anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi is usually a language that Hashem uses. Like Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm the Lord your God. I am I. Anochi. So that's the language that's used here. Anoichi hastir hastir. In other words, anoichi matsui tamid afil bebechinas hastir hastir. Right? I, anoichi Hashem lokecha, Hashem can be found. He's there even in this level of a hidden face in the world. You can still find God. You gotta search. It's tougher. But you can still find the Anoichi in the Hester. That's our job. To find God, the Anoichi Hashem Lokecha, in the Hester Panim of this Golus. That's our job. That's what we gotta find. We gotta see Hashem's hands in nature, in political moves, in economic sanctions, in history, in chancellors, in politicians, and presidents, and kings. Right? That's the Anoichi. He's manipulating all these people. They're agents. We've got to try to find that. That's our job. That's a tough job. Okay? That's chapter 31, verse 18. Okay? Vayida Bam as a Shemayim v'Saaretz. Chapter 31, verse 25 says, Bam, Baham, Israel. Israel will be the testimony on the creation of the heavens and the earth. Right? Chedush HaRem says on this, that we are Hashem's witnesses, because by Israel, we tell the glory of God that is hidden, there's that word again, Shenistar B'masa Bracious. In this Hester Parnim, our job is to reveal God's glory in the world. Va'kol tului b'mnei Yisrael. Everything is contingent on us. So we got a tough job. In this Hester Parnim, our job is to reveal there is no coincidence. There is no haphazardness. Right? Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as a happening. Okay? This is from our friend Lewis who wrote this. Okay? Happenstance, accident, haphazard, random, pointless coincidence, there's no such thing. Ein mikro bolam. Our job is to see all during the day that everything is being designed by Hashem. You can read this later on. Okay, Les, we're going to finish up now. Yes, we are going to finish up. 31 verses 17 and 18. Hashem will get angry at that day. V'starti panai mehem. I'll hide my face from them. Right? U'matzara, ra'as rabas, v'tzaras, many afflictions. We'll find out we'll have a lot of tzaras. V'amar v'yomahu. We'll say at that day, Elo, al ken, ein Elokai bekirbi. It's because God is not in me. Matzuni ha'ra'isazetz, ha'ela. That's why these things are happening. Right? And then it says, V'anach ha'aster ha'aster panai mehem. I'll hide my face on that day. Why? Kipana Elohim achrim, because you turn to other gods. Okay? That's the problem. When we have tzoras, what's the first thing we do? The last thing we do is pray. That's when we're really desperate. You know? That's when you know you're really in trouble. But the reality is, that's the first thing you should do. That's the first line of defense. So we turn to other gods. Yeah, we turn to political channels or lawyers or whatever it is. We try to pull all the strings in the world, but we forget to go to the source. We don't forget on purpose because we just don't believe that prayer to God is going to be as effective as our means. Right? And that's called turning to other gods. And that's why God will hide his face, because it's measure for measure. You hid yourself from God. You turned to other gods. You thought your governor or your lawyer or whatever it is can answer your problems. Right? Or your psychiatrist or these stupid books or talk shows. You turned to all these things. You didn't turn to God. Right? You didn't make a legitimate effort within his ways and realize he'll crown the success of your hands. Right? That's not what you did. You were an idolater. You didn't believe in God. You didn't turn to him. And therefore, Hashem will hide his face. Okay? Okay, and even if we do turn to these other channels, we have to realize that we have to pray that Hashem give me a grace of, put a thread of grace over me, and I realize this is your agency, and it's really you. It's you behind it. So we forget to do that. That is idolatry. Okay, that's something else we got to remember. Okay. Now, this portion, just to finish up, is really talking about Moshe's death. Vayelach is talking about Moshe's death. And it says, Vayelach Moshe, l'kayam mitzvah Menachem Avolim, l'bnei Yisrael. Moshe went, what does it mean he went? It went to, it's unbelievable. Usually when someone dies, you go and comfort the mourner. Moshe Rabbeinu went to comfort all of Israel on his death. On his coming out death. That's what it says. Rashi says, L'kayam mitzvas menachem avelim l'bnei Yisrael amitaso. He went to all of Israel to comfort them on his death. It's amazing. He even got that mitzvah. Okay, but I want to just close with something else here that ties in with Rosh Hashanah coming up. And that's the following. Vayelech Moshe. So the Medrash says in Tanhuma, Ein vayelech el loshen tochacha. Vayelech is only a language, it's really a language of rebuke, right? So I heard from Rabbi Fran, he says in B'Shem HaYalkut, he says the following, he says, where's the rebuke? Vayelech Moshe, Moshe went. We don't say any rebuke. And so Rashi says there, what does it mean? Vayelech, it says, lo uchal oy letzes lavo. That's what it says in the verse. Moshe says, I can no longer come and go. What does it mean, come and go? He told him, that I can't enter Israel. Hashem said no. Right? So Amar b'nei Israel, the children of Israel said, ma kara l'Moshe? What happened to Moshe? Es molaya poiras kinesher. Yesterday he was like an eagle. He took us out of Egypt. He split the sea, brought down the Ten Commandments. V'akshav hu lo yachal avos hayarden. And today he tells us, I cannot go over the Jordan River. Hashem amar alai lo tavos hayarden azeh. Hashem told me I can't go over the Jordan River. What happened to Moshe? Yesterday he split the sea, brought us man, brought us the Torah, today he can't go over the Jordan. Hateretz is, the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Amar Lo Tavor Seyarden. Hashem said you can't go. That's it. That's the rebuke. People think they're so important and they're such Balei Koyach, they're so powerful and everything. One day they can do this, and the next day they're told, no. Hashem gives you the power. And one day you can do anything. You can split the sea. You can take a whole people out of Egypt. The next day Hashem says, no, it's over. It's over. That's the ultimate rebuke.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.